You're listening to the Big Guy Fantasy Sports Podcast Network. Welcome to the Nasty Cast.
Hello, welcome to episode 132 of the NastyCast Fantasy Baseball Podcast, brought to you by Dots Pretzels. I am Nathan Dockin. You can find me on Twitter at Nathan Dockin. And I am joined today by a man with a broken Johnson rod, Van Lee.
It's a sad day when your Johnson rod is broken, but that's okay. All it takes is a little bit of tape and maybe a twig. You hold it together, you're good to go.
And we also have with us today a man with the biggest functional Johnson rod that's ever been crankshafted, Ron Rigney.
Said no one ever. They used to tell me if I played with my Johnson rod too much when I was growing up, I'd go blind, but I can obviously see, so that's not the case.
You've got a lot of self-control, more than I can say. I've got thick contacts.
I was going to say, I'm also wearing glasses as we speak, so.
Yeah. My contacts are actually the size of Coke bottle tops. I think that's what they measure them by.
Hmm. See, I had laser beams shooting painful. Me in the eyes, so I don't have to worry about all that.
You shot yourself in the eyes?
What? With a laser beam, yeah.
Whoa. Ah, okay. Well, I mean, I think if anybody has any sort of farsightedness, we've got an eclipse coming up shortly. I've heard if you just stare at that, then that'll fix everything, right?
Yeah, that's how it works, yeah. I often recommend staring at the sun, even without an eclipse.
Right. You think if, like, you know, they're recommending all these special glasses and everything. You think if you wear 3D glasses and look at this, the eclipse, that your eyeballs will just explode?
You mean like just the one red thing and one blue thing, those things?
Like cardboard?
I think your eyeballs will become suns themselves, like kind of like Superman.
Or like Cyclops from the X-Men. There you go.
Yeah, it could be.
What's your guys' favorite superhero?
Ooh, that's a tough question.
I'm pretty partial to Batman. I'm a Batman guy.
Batman's a good one. That? You know, I like X-Men. I'll say that. I don't really have a favorite singular X-Men, but I do like the X-Men as a concept.
I will say I like the Marvel universe way better than DC. Mm. They have way more characters that I like. So
whatever X-Men Jennifer Lawrence was in recent films.
Yeah.
Mystique?
Yep. She can shapeshift.
Oh, man. She's got a shape, all right.
See, I like Sophie Turner as Jean Grey in the newest X-Men. I'm all for that.
I haven't seen that one.
Armageddon, that's what it was.
Yeah, see, the of the Marvel movies, the ones I have not seen, I have not actually seen any of the X-Men or Wolverine movies.
Hmm. Logan was really good. I
Logan looks amazing.
Movie,
I really do
want
to see that one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, will I watch Logan and understand and kind of get what's going on, or do I need to watch all the X-Men and other Wolverine first?
I think you'd be all right. I mean, some parts might be confusing, but all you have to do is go in with the knowledge that he, in his prime, his mutant power was that he could regenerate from damage, and he has claws in his hands. And I mean, now that you know that, you should be fine.
Okay.
I don't think I really have a big screen superhero movie that I would consider my favorite. Although I really enjoyed the Deadpool movie, but I am a big fan of Daredevil on Netflix, series.
Yes.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah,
show.
Very good. What do you think about the other ones? Jessica Jones and Luke Cage and Iron Fist. What do you think about those?
I have never watched Iron Fist. I watched one episode of both Luke Cage and Jessica Jones. Did not care for either one of them off the bat. I didn't give them a second chance. Like, I didn't even watch the second episode or anything, so maybe it gets better. But Daredevil is the only one that really grabbed me.
Yeah.
Daredevil, I like Jessica Jones, but I particularly like that actress. So that's kind of why I stuck a little bit with it. That said, I've only seen a few episodes because I just don't watch those very often.
Yeah, I have about, I think, maybe like 20 minutes in the finale of Jessica Jones, and I'll be done with that one. I'm going to move on to Iron Fist. But it's pretty good. You ought to give it another shot, because I thought it was pretty good. Luke Cage, I was kind of, it's okay. But
All right, so last note on this, of course, is that the true answer for all three of us is, of course, Damon Wayans is Blank Man. That's the real answer to favorite superhero.
Sure. Oh, man. Did anybody... That was a movie, right?
Yes, from 1994. I had to look
it
up.
Did anybody watch that?
No. I don't think anyone in the world watched it.
Yeah, that movie grossed $0 internationally.
4.8 out of 10 on IMDb. Solid.
Good. You know what? Sometimes that Rotten Tomatoes thing too can be misleading. Like last night, I watched some like one of the absolute worst movies I've ever seen. Like the wife and I like to sit back and just turn off our brains and watch crappy horror movies on purpose. Mm-hmm. But this one was like it wasn't just crappy. It was like just nothing happened. It was like the I Am the Pretty Little Thing That Lives in Your House or something like that, I think it was called. And it had a 60% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is fine for a horror movie because they're all rated really badly. Mm-hmm. But what I didn't look at on my quick scan before I turned on the film was that it had a 22% user or like, you know, Joe Schmo non-critic rating or whatever. Mm. And yeah, my God, was that movie slow. Like the director was like, I think he just... you know, after every scene, after every take, he was like, all right, we're going to do that again, but go 10 times slower. Try to almost don't move at all. And that will be even. And that was, imagine that for 90 minutes. God, it was painful. I watched it to the end, though, damn it.
Oh, I always do that. I've maybe walked out of two movies in my life.
I have trouble just giving up on movies just because. I don't know. Part of my brain feels like, well, that was unfinished. Maybe it got really good at the end. It's never really the case. Like, if I don't like, I don't think I've ever watched anything and I've got halfway through and the ending was so satisfying that it totally turned it around. Anyway, this has been Movie/Superhero Corners with the Nasty Boys. Before we get into the show and the typical housekeeping and everything, I wanted to give a quick shout out to Tim McLeod, who unfortunately, you know, he's a longtime friend of the show, great guy. He lost his wife this past week, and I just wanted to point all of our listeners out to a GoFundMe page that has been started for him. He had a heart attack earlier this year as well, and if you go to my Facebook page, if you go to the Prospect 361 Facebook page, you can click on that and you can donate to his cause if you got even a couple bucks of spare change. One of the best guys I think that I've ever met in my life, and if anybody is deserving of a little bit of help, it is Tim McLeod. So we wish him the best from the Nasty Cast. And so moving on from that, on today's show we have some news, we've got some legit or quit, we've got a special segment looking forward to 2018, a couple versus battles there, or I guess one, I guess just including three guys, and then we're going to talk some closers to round out the show. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at NastyCastBGFS. Van is at ManlyVanLee, and Ron is at TheRealMade. And go check out Fantrax Dynasty Baseball as well. It's on Google Play, Stitcher, iTunes, all over the place. And also check out BigGuyFantasySports.com for baseball and football articles. And to purchase Bob Lung's 2017 Fantasy Football Consistency Guide, use coupon code NastyCast to get $1 off that already bargain-priced book. Which totally won an award over the past week as well. An eventful past week.
Very good.
This was a cheat sheet war room or something like that.
Yep.
They do a review of all those every year. Yeah, they won the award this year, Bob's consistency guide. So it's the real deal, folks. Go check it out. You will win all your leagues this year. I don't promise that, but it will be good and it will make you smarter. Anyway, and finally, before we get into the news, please rate and review the podcast on iTunes. If you want to help us out, if you want to reward us for this podcast, we put a lot of time into it and we get basically no monetary compensation for it. We will take your approval if you have any for us in the form of an iTunes review, and I'll even ship you some Dots pretzels if you want them because they're delicious.
Wait, we're not getting paid for this?
Sorry.
Oh, we forgot to tell Ron. Shoot.
Oh, crap. Oh. You know what? I'll send you some nudes. Nudes, it'll be okay.
Some dudes.
Both.
No dude, news. No, dude, no.
How is that? Well, that has to be a website somewhere.
Dudes and news.
Dudes and news.
Look it up.
If not, it will be one by the end of the show, ran by Van the Man Lee.
That's right. You know, see, the best part about it with the name, it's vague enough that it could be just like bros, just like guys in, you know, tank tops or whatever, and then nude women, or it could be nude bros. And just like cowboy dudes. I mean, there's a lot of potential here.
It could just be a bunch of dudes like sitting around looking at nudes.
See, there you go.
That'd be exciting.
Perhaps go to they that have website. Tudes as well.
And if they travel in packs, they could be considered a brood.
Oh,
yes.
This conversation has been very crude. Moving on to the news.
Brood. is what I just did.
It's a bit of fun. Fond farewell to Jared Weaver, everybody. He called it a career today. Any fun Jared Weaver stories?
I don't really have any Jared Weaver stories, but I mean, I'm an Angels fan, and he's been the pitcher for the Angels for quite a while. And there was a 5-year period from 2010 to 2015 where I think he had like a 2.93 ERA, threw a ton of innings. I mean, it's understated how good Jared Weaver was in his prime, considering he threw, you know, 92 to 90 back then. So it's a sad day in my heart, and I will happily wear my Jared Weaver jersey with proud, I don't know, pride. I couldn't think of the word pride. With proud pride. So yeah, it's a sad day for me.
Do you have enough hair to pull off the Jared Weaver look, or do you have to wear a wig?
Give me another, I think in a month, because it's pretty shaggy now. Give me another month or so, and I can pull it, slick it straight back and have the Weaver look.
I'm going to hold you to that.
I definitely cannot do the Jared Weaver look, so.
Yeah, you're bald as a kneecap, if I'm not mistaken.
You're correct, sir.
I'm well on my way. speaking of guys who can't do things, Bryce Harper can't run because he just about broke his leg off this past week, slipping on a wet base after a rain delay. Looked totally gruesome. He's not quite dead. He's going to miss about a month, though. But I was wondering, what do you guys think as far as Bryce Harper's long-term outlook? Yet another season where he has endured an injury, sort of like Giancarlo Stanton, who we will be speaking about later on in the episode. So, Ben, has this changed your outlook on Bryce Harper, who's having a terrific year up until now?
Well, it hasn't really changed my outlook, because my outlook was always a bit more negative than the consensus in that Stanton was a really good comp. As far as a guy who, when they play, they hit, except for that one partial season where Harper really struggled. But yeah, he's basically just getting hurt too much. And while some of these things are freak injuries, i.e. slipping on the bag, or when he ran into the wall and hurt his knee last time, they're still happening. In fact, I want to bring up a trade offer that my friend Justin kind of threw out there the moment Harper got hurt. He said he was going to offer Harper, Gleyber Torres, and another prospect for Trout. And, well, no, he was going to trade Trout for those players. That's what it was. And my thought process on that is, number one, if you have to ask about a Trout trade, you don't need to do it. You need to keep Trout. And then number two, Trout in comparison, because Harper has been largely one of the best players in baseball along with Mike Trout, Trout has not gotten hurt with the exception of this season. Harper has. Even if it's fluky, he's still been hurt. So maybe he has thinner ligaments. Maybe he's just more prone to being hurt. But I think we really have to take that into the grand scope of things. We have to realize that Harper, I don't think he's fragile, because again, these are kind of fluky accidents. We're not dealing with, you know, sore elbow all the time. But he does get hurt a lot more than you would really like him to. So I think you have to put that in your valuation of him. Now, you also have to realize he's one of the best hitters in baseball, so you have to think of that. But if he's not going to be on the field for 150 games a season, that really kind of dings his value.
And he plays hard, too. And I mean, that's part of the thing as well, is guys that play hard like that, they might be susceptible to a few things, especially in the outfield, just because they're always going all out, trying to do whatever they can to help their team win, and you got to like that. But at the same time, as a fantasy owner, it has to give you a little bit of pause when you spend a first round pick on these guys. And it's kind of comparable to what, you know, when you look at a guy that's consistently hurt, or a guy that, you know, you're not going to get a full season out of. It's kind of like what's going on in football right now with Zeke Elliott. Where is he going to go based on the suspension? Are you going to spend an early pick on him and be without him for 7 weeks? And it's kind of the same thing here. If you draft Bryce Harper, you know, you're going to get great production, but are you going to be able to weather the storm when you're missing him for 25-30 games or whatever it may be? So I don't necessarily think it dings him too much for me. I think I'd still kind of seek him in the first round, but he's a guy that I don't own anywhere, and I don't think I've ever had him in a league. But it is kind of fluky stuff that happens, kind of like Stanton. So the other side of it is, though, as well, because I always kind of look at with Stanton and Harper's kind of the same way. It's not the same injury that keeps cropping up. It's not a knee that he keeps having trouble with, or a hamstring. You know, it's things that are fluky that are unrelated. And so I don't know how much of it, you know, you can really you can really discount that player just because it's not the same injury that keeps propping up. You know, it's not like Rich Hill, for example, who you know is going to have blisters for half the season. Now, not that he's a first round pick, but you know, going in, that's something you're going to have to deal with. These things they kind of pop up out of nowhere. So I guess he might get knocked down a few spots for me, but overall, I mean, he's one of the best hitters in the game. So you got to see what happened. You know, if you took Stanton this year and took a risk on him, that's really paying off. So when it does work and you can construct your roster to where you can withstand that for a few weeks, I think that you got to still take him in the first round like he's a premier player.
I think he's still a first rounder, but he's maybe not as high as, I don't know. He's certainly not a first half of the first rounder for me. The stolen bases really just aren't there like I thought that they would be. He's only 2-for-4 this year, and that dinks his value a lot.
I don't think they will be because this is two knee injuries we've seen. So I think even though they haven't been related to really stolen bases, I think they're going to tell him to back off. So I really don't expect him to run really at all in his career. Maybe 10 in a season is the most I see going forward.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to be a huge part of his game either, which does ding his, you know, his fantasy value. But this was a fluke injury to me, you know, just slipping on a wet base. So I don't personally ding him too much for that, but he does play recklessly, you know, so that does lead to a few more injuries than perhaps the standard or your average Joe. And I think last year, too, he was injured and he played through it. I think that's what led to the fall off in production, because if you look at his plate discipline, his hard contact, everything was fantastic. And you got to keep in mind, too, like especially as far as dynasty keeper leagues go, this guy's 24. He's 24. That's insane. And he's still putting up these outstanding numbers. I think he's definitely got another level in him. Kind of like, I mean, as scary as it is to think about, I think Mike Trout might have another level in him still. But if we're doing a dynasty startup, I would still take him number 2 overall, Bryce Harper, that is. But if we're in redraft leagues, I would say that he's considerably farther back than that just because of the lack of steals. And I do agree with you, Ron. I don't think that's ever going to be really a big part of his game moving forward. But I see a lot of power, see a lot of batting average. Still love him, although he's a baby. But we had one more trade this week also, boys. Moving on, Tyler Clippard was traded to the Astros. So who closes for the Pale Hose? We got on, I think, Ron.
Real quick before we move on, I want to throw one other thing out there about Chris Harper. Bryce Harper is actually younger than Chris Bryant. I don't know if you guys realize that by a few months. So wow. that's kind of remarkable to me. But anyway, back to this disgustingly gross White Sox bullpen. I don't know. I mean, I guess at the top of the bullpen, you've got Juan Manaea, you've got Jake Patryka, and it's just kind of a you have to pick who sucks less, I guess. In this case, is you've got Manaea with a 4.76 ERA. You got Patryka with an ERA over 8, who's gotten just blown up in a bunch of different appearances. And so Manaea has been a little better, but it's once again one that I don't want really anybody in the entire scenario. So I guess just by default, I would go with Juan Manaea just because the numbers are a little bit better, because Jake Patryka was the guy that I kind of pegged before, and he's a guy that I had a few years ago that put up some nice numbers. But overall, he's been awful so far. So Manaea by default for me, I guess, is the answer.
Yeah, and you know, Rick Renteria came and said that he does plan to give different guys chances. So we are really looking at a closer by committee, which is never fun to deal with. You're right, Ron. I kind of fell in line with you as far as preferring Patryka, but it's just not working out. So it's probably Juan Manaea. The other guy to mention, who's one of my favorite names in baseball, Aaron Bummer. He's in line for it, and that's not a bummer, man. And so he's another guy to look at. But yeah, again, I'm with you in that regard as far as I will probably be staying away from this. If I'm in, you know, second place, 2 points behind first place in my league, and saves is the only category I can move up, then sure, I'll pay attention. But other than that, yeah, I'm probably going to avoid this.
I have nothing more to add or subtract to anything you guys have said. I'm in full agreement, so we shall move on to Legit or Quit. And the first guy that we are going to talk about, Van, is Miguel Cabrera, more fondly known as Miggy. Is he done?
I mean, done is very hard to say. I don't think he's done. But what I do want to say is that...
Is he medium rare?
Medium well, maybe. I don't know if that means he's good or bad, but either way.
He's still juicy.
There you go. He's one name I want to point out is Albert Pujols. Guess what? Pujols was one of the greatest hitters in baseball for a long time, and then age got up to him, and he really kind of fell off of a cliff. We're seeing a Pujolsian drop as far as what Miguel Cabrera is doing. I don't necessarily think that's really the way it's going to be. Cabrera's 34. Pujols presumably was already 45 whenever his fall off started to happen because of the whole lie of the age thing. So I think Cabrera's probably got some more in the tank, but boy, he's had a pretty mediocre season this year. Sitting 251, 336, 403. He only has 13 home runs and 430 plate appearances. The last time he did that was 2015 when he had 18 home runs and 511 plate appearances. And he did rebound last year for 38 homers, so there's certainly more potential for that. But he also at least hit for average in that 2015 season. He didn't do that this year. He is walking. Strikeouts are up about 3-4%. He's in the 20% range. BABIP's not bad at 292, so I don't know. It's scary to think that, you know, he really has fallen off this much, which I don't think is the case. But there's entirely a possibility that he's no longer what he used to be.
And when you talk about the stats already, you kind of alluded to those being down across the board. The metrics are the same way. And I wonder, with that steep drop off from the 38 homers in the season that he put up last year, I wonder if he's not fully healthy this year, because I know he's had a couple of nagging injuries. And when you see that production kind of go off the cliff like that, I wonder, kind of like we said with Bryce Harper last year, okay, is he covering up something that he doesn't want to keep going to the DL? Because normally Miggy's been pretty healthy throughout his career. The other thing you got to think about, a couple other things I looked at it beyond the stats, are number one, he's been in the league since 2003, so he's got a lot of mileage on him, and he played 87 games that year. I believe he was like 18-19 years old, so he's been in the league a while. And plus, being healthy, playing that amount of games, wears on you. Now we've seen his body change over his career as well. I remember that first year he came up, he had that weird eligibility of like third base and outfield. Mm-hmm. And he was, you know, he's a solid athlete. He's gotten a little heftier, or as we could say, he's kind of a thick boy, as we said, two C's. And when I look at him, because I own him in one place that I traded for a few years ago, it has him listed at 240. He looks over 240 to me. I don't know about you guys, but I just wonder if the conditioning is there since he moved to first base. And I wonder if just the amount of at-bats, the amount of games, the amount of years that he's played is just kind of catching up with him. So I don't believe that he's done, but it's very concerning when you have a season like he had last year and all of a sudden you really – fall off, and there's got to be something attributed to it. And like I said, you know, my best guess is maybe it's just got some nagging injuries that he's trying to play through.
He and Pujols are prime examples of why it's important to do your cardio, kids, because if all you do is lift weights when you get older, the joints don't work as well. You're out of shape. It just doesn't work as well. I guess the antithesis to that was, of course, David Ortiz, but there are a lot less David Ortizes in the world than, you know, Cabreras or whatever.
I think that's the first rule of Zombieland too, of surviving, right? Is cardio.
Yep. Work on your cardio. That's true.
Yeah. The apocalypse is coming, folks. The zombie apocalypse. You can't be fat. You're going to be one of the first ones to go. But Miggy. You know, somebody needs to help me out on this one. I did just a cursory scan on this because I had read, I think it was Alex Chamberlain on Twitter said the Baseball Savant does, like, they measure the actual bat speed now. And he had found that Miggy's bat speed is down like 2 miles an hour from last year, which would explain perhaps the lack of power. But again, I just did a quick scan for that to find it, and I could not. So I'll have to do some more research on that after the show because that would be fascinating. But he has dealt, you know, like you said, Ron, with some injuries recently. I know this recent Twin Series, he left a game towards the end of the game with a sore back. And so that's something he's been dealing with. But, yeah, that's something you got to bake in now. He's at 34 years old. I think you're looking at a mid-round guy now because he's an absolute zero in stolen bases. You mentioned the lack of cardio, Ron or Van. So, you know, in this day and age where power is pretty easy to come by, I don't see why anybody would have any interest in him in the first three rounds like they have in recent years. And, you know, a lot of people point towards a rebound with the hard contact rate of 44.5%. I actually still think that might be something off in the calibration with StatCast with the new equipment in Comerica. Because if you look at the splits, the home and away splits with the Tigers, it's when they're at home, it's like, you know, far and away, they're the number one team as far as hard contact rate. And then all of a sudden, when they go on the road, they're like fourth or fifth, you know. So I think something is goofy there as far as what's measuring the hard contact. So I'm one to take that with a grain of salt. I think that could be substantially lower than it's actually showing. So I really don't have too much interest in Miggy moving forward, especially Dynasty Leagues. But we shall see. Hopefully he rebounds next year because I do like me some Miggy. He's a fun guy. But let's move on to a younger first baseman who has, on the flip side, he's actually been hot recently. That's CJ Cron of the Angels. And I'll never forget the Angels sent him down after he crushed a grand slam.
Yeah.
And I said on Fantastics that night that he might be worth an ad because, you know, grand slam. Hey, this guy's got power. Yeah. And then they sent him down. I was like, oh, for God's sakes. So CJ Cron, I forget when you guys start us off.
Go ahead, Ron.
I think it's me. I don't have a lot to say about CJ Cron. I actually put in my notes, put him down as CJ Crud. He's just kind of a guy. There's not a lot that stands out about him. I mean, his numbers are okay, I guess, in a deeper league, maybe if you need a bat. But when you look at one thing I was curious about is I looked at the Angels depth chart and it's listed on their official website, and they actually have CJ Cron listed third at first base behind Luis Valbuena and Albert Pujols, who doesn't even play first base most of the time. So that tells you something right there. I'm not too interested. I mean, I know he's had a little bit of a streak going lately. He doesn't walk enough for me. His career rate is only 4.7%. It's up a little bit to a whopping 5.3% this year, but I don't need him really anywhere, and I'm going to leave him on the waiver wire. He's a guy that doesn't interest me in the least bit.
Well, first and foremost, it's Crone, just so you guys know. And in fact, your disdain for him has really deflated my Croner. So that's kind of disappointing. So when CJ Cron first came up several years ago, I referred to him as Mark Trumbo 1.5 because he had the power that Trumbo has. He doesn't walk and he likely hit for a little bit better average, but it was a very similar style player. Then Mike Scioscia got a hold of him and really just didn't play him, played him sporadically, moved him around, sent him up. Sent him down, brought him up, sent him down, brought him up. Just kind of screwed around with him. And I don't think he really was able to, you know, kind of flourish as a player for as far as that goes. So he's really become just a guy, like Ron said. I'll agree with that. He, like I said, does have a little bit of power, but he doesn't walk enough. The average isn't going to kill you, which is maybe the one thing that if you're in a batting average league means he has some value. OBP leagues, I wouldn't even look at him. But batting average leagues, if you're desperate for power, he won't kill you in average, but he will provide a little bit of power. But for the most part, I'm over CJ Cron. I think he's a bit piece or a utility guy who can fill in if somebody gets hurt. But other than that, he's nothing special.
Nothing special indeed. But he's got 4 home runs in August with steady playing time and a 3.72 average. That's hotter than a Texas orgy, baby. He's been pulling the ball for power in August. That's what he does to an extreme amount, though. 49% fly balls, 57% pull rate, 46% hard contact. It's not a profile that projects for a 300 average by any means. So the average, I think, will be decent. But in regards to this hot streak, nowhere near it. But he does have plenty of raw power. He always got the Trumbo comps when he was coming up. I think that's still pretty apt. Doesn't walk, like you said. You know, contact rates haven't changed. None of the plate disciplines really changed. So I'm going to quit him, on having turned any corner despite this power binge. But perhaps it is a different story with Eddie Rosario, Van, of my Twinkies.
Eddie Rosario. He always just felt like just kind of a weird utility guy, but he sure put up a good season. He's hitting .296, .337, .504, 16 homers, 5 steals. Walk rate's about 6%, so it's nothing to write home about, and that's pretty consistent with his career. He was at 3.4 the year before, 3.2 the year before that, so he's not a walker, and that's pretty much why I'm going to quit him. I think this season has really been the season of the weird hitters succeeding. Marwin Gonzalez is a guy I just wrote about, another guy who doesn't walk, who hit for power this year and somehow is slugging .500, and I think it's just kind of absurd. Rosario does have some pop. I just think this is a bit more than he's going to be able to sustain over a full career. To me, he's still just a bit player, a fill-in guy. who has value in that regard, but I think if you continue to play him every day, you'll really overexpose him. So I'm a quit on him, though I think maybe he does still finish the year out fine. He's young, he's 25, but I, for a career, I'm not that interested.
Yeah, if I have any interest in him, it's going to be in anything bigger than a 12-teamer. I mean, I think in a deeper league at this point in the year, he's a nice little flyer to take a chance on. I definitely would take a chance on him way before I would look at CJ Crud. I think that I looked at the stats a little bit. He is only 25, like Van alluded to. K rate's down a little bit, 353 wOBA's nice. Nate, I don't remember. Was he a very heralded prospect with the Twins? It doesn't seem like he was a top level guy, was he?
No.
Okay, really. Yeah. So he kind of came out of nowhere, and so those guys, you know, until they do it consistently, there's a little bit of pause with adding a guy that kind of comes out of nowhere. But overall, it's got to be a pretty deep league for me to take a chance on Rosario at this point.
So I'm willing to take a chance on him and. Mixed leagues of almost all kinds right now, just because Eddie Rosario, when he gets on one of these hot streaks, he gets freaking hot and Everything just seems to land. And he's been hotter than a mango in between a marathon runner's thighs so far in August. With he's got 1135 OPS over 52 plate appearances in August. And it's hard to tell if any of these changes will stick, but so far this month, he has a 47% fly ball rate. He's been a little bit more fly ball-y this year overall, and a 55% pull rate this month that has led to that power that we've seen. 43% hard contact rate that is very uncharacteristic from him. And since June 1st, he's been really good. 318, 362, 559 slash line since June 1st, with 7% walk rate, 19% strikeout rate. Also on the season, he's cut 5% off his chase rate on pitches outside the zone, which has always been his biggest issue and has cost me probably a year off my life just watching him swing at friggin' pitches above his eyes. Like, God almighty, don't pick a pitch that you don't actually want to swing at. Anyway, but he's also cut 4% off his swinging strike rate overall and upped his contact rate 5%. So overall, that's very encouraging because that's on the entire year. That's just not just on this hot streak either. So I'm going to say that for the rest of the, basically like exactly what you said, Van, that for the rest of the season, I think that this is legit because I think this hot streak can carry out for the rest of the year. But then next season rolls around, he could go back to hacking at everything because he's Eddie freaking Rosario. So I don't necessarily know that I'm buying him at this level next year. But at the same time, maybe you don't have to pay that much for him since he's still Eddie freaking Rosario. But I would definitely actually pick him up in the podcast league. He's going to be my Bryce Harper replacement for the next month. Yeehaw!
I see that going very well.
Yeah, right. I'm winning for sure. I'm going from third to first, baby. That league is mine, bitches. But let's see what we got here. Mark Leiter Jr. This guy had put up some interesting relief innings. Let's see. He had nine strikeouts actually in Colorado over 4 1/3 innings. And then 7 strikeouts over 5 relief innings against the Mets. So they threw him out in the rotation the other day. Didn't go too well. But what do you think? Could the results be better for Mark Leiter, the junior run?
Yeah. There's a lot of guys on here that I just kind of looked at. I instead of saying legit or quit, I just kind of made random noises because I wasn't sure what to do.
How do you spell that?
Maybe an N, like basically take all your keys on the number row and hit shift and just put all those symbols in there. That's probably that's probably the best, most accurate way to do it. One thing that stuck out for me, though, is it looks like he's better as a starter than he is a reliever. So I guess that's something positive. We always talk about these older prospects. It gives me a little bit of pause there. He's 26 years old. But he did have, you kind of alluded to some of his outings, he three-hit the Diamondbacks and went 6 innings and didn't allow a run. Looked impressive there. So when you look at the metrics, you look across the board, he's allowing nearly 2 homers per game and nearly 4 walks. The average against him, I believe, is only in about the 240s. So if he can limit the walks and the homers, which are two biggies for a pitcher, he could be serviceable. But I don't know. At this point, I don't think there's any scenario that I really would need to add him. But maybe it's just a case, again, of the Phillies bringing up all the kids and just seeing what they got and seeing what sticks. But I'm gonna pass on Al Jr.
You know what I like to look for in my pitchers? That's a low K per 9, gives up too many home runs, and doesn't throw very hard. Yeehaw. Yeah, no thanks. I have no interest in him. I think the best thing he did in his career, when he was a senior, I'm pretty sure he struck out 20 in a game, And I don't see him ever approaching anything remotely close to striking out a lot in a game, because he just doesn't, he doesn't throw hard and he doesn't have that good of stuff. So I don't know. It's something to look at just because it's the Phillies. But if this were virtually any other team, I would still pretty much just ignore him. So I'm definitely quitting on Mark Leiter.
How dare you? Yeah, no, it's hard to get too excited about a 7.3% swing strike rate. I am going to keep my eye on him, however, because of those outstanding relief appearances. Kind of makes you think what Chris Devensky could do as a starter instead of a super reliever. But it is worth keeping an eye on. Yeah, but that's, I don't have too much else to say for that. Kind of just a kitchen sink kind of guy. Throws a little bit of everything. Nothing too exciting. It's the Phillies. You know, they're trying out stuff, I guess, right? It's the youth movement. He's only 26. Fun times. But let's see, Ben, sticking with you, Corey Spangenberg, he's been on a hot streak as well. So what do you think? Is this somebody to look forward to in 2018, and can you ride him for the rest of the season?
Ron, do you think that my roster is Spange-worthy? That's for all the Seinfeld fans out there.
Yeah, if you've done a hard target search of every drugstore in the tri-state area and found enough Spanges, I think you're good.
He could be okay. I actually do like Corey Spangenberg a bit because he's should be cheap. I mean, this is not a guy who's going to lead your team to the postseason, but he's a good bit piece. This year so far, he's hitting .280, .333, .442. 12 homers, 8 steals. It's been pretty hot lately, but he's also a guy that doesn't walk much and strikes out too much. But, again, for the cost, which should be nothing, then this is going to be a guy who can kind of bump up your middle infield a bit. So I'll kind of legit him as far as that goes. But if you really start expecting more than you should with any San Diego Padre for that regard, then you're going to get burned. So be very careful with him. And I honestly wouldn't put any work into trading for him. But if you picked him up, you have him, he's on your minors, sure, ride him for the rest of the league. See what he can do next year. He's only 26. So I'll give him the legit just because of the age and the value.
And he's got the pedigree. I mean, I know he was a guy that I remember looking at when he was a prospect. And he was kind of a highly touted prospect. But he's almost, to me, kind of an infield version of Eddie Rosario, at least for this season. I think the overall long-term outlook for him is a little more positive than Eddie Rosario. But he's another guy, too, that I kind of looked at, and I just kind of made a random noise and wasn't really sure what to do. He does have 8 stolen bases. He does have 12 homers. So he's putting a couple of stats up there for you. But, yeah, like Van said, you'll probably get him on waivers anyway. So if you need a guy to plug in the middle infield, he's a guy that you could plug in at third base if you need. I think he's eligible in second base in a lot of formats. Am I wrong in that assumption?
Yeah, you should.
For some reason, I think that. So, I mean, if he's multi-position eligible, I'm always a fan of those guys, too, that you can use multiple places. To me, especially this late in the season, that really adds to their value. So I like him a little bit better than Eddie Rosario. But like I said, I think the overall long-term is a little bit better. But, he's a guy I wouldn't try to trade for. He's a guy I wouldn't target in my draft next year unless it's a really deep league draft.
I like that comp of the Eddie Rosario of the infield. And, I definitely echo that sentiment that you can use flexible second base, third base. So that puts him at corner middle infield, too. And I think in some formats, you're even going to be able to deploy him in the outfield if you want. So that in itself, especially in deep leagues, has some value. We'll say he's absolutely dreadful against lefties. He's absolutely a platoon player so far this year. He has a 37 WRC plus against lefties. That's not good. But over the second half, he's actually been really good. 1,030 OPS so far. He's doubled his walk rate to 10%. Cut the strikeouts by 3%. So perhaps we're seeing some overall progression from the 26-year-old that's still well within the range of, like, you know, sort of normalcy as far as a breakout. So I think probably riding him for the rest of the season, especially if I need an injury filler in most formats. Not exactly over the moon for him, though. I think in a full season, if he gets close to every day at bats, because he's got to sit against lefties. But I think he could be a 15-15 guy. And, in middle infield, especially in deeper leagues, that holds value. So I don't necessarily think he can sustain a .356 BABIP. So maybe he's more of a 250 hitter than a 280 hitter. And so then the walk rate becomes really important. Is he going to sustain a, a 10% walk rate? Is he going to go back to his career rate of, 7% or even worse at 5% like he's done in recent years? So that remains to be seen. I'm definitely watching him. I'm actually, I believe I'm riding him in my NL only league because everybody's hurt. But what do? You grasp me at straws there. But anyway, we're going to take a break. We're gonna come back and we're gonna put one of our eyes towards 2018. Just one of them, though. We're gonna keep one eye on redraft and put one eye towards 2018. So we're gonna maybe go cross-eyed,
like a real Forrest Whitaker.
Yeah, exactly. We're gonna take DayQuil and NyQuil at the same time. See what happens. We're gonna take a break. We'll be right back.
Nasty, nasty.
You're listening to the BGFS Network, where we keep fantasy real.
All right, we are back. I am here with the Eddie Rosarios of podcasting, Van Lee, and Ron Rigney. God, I almost forgot your name somehow. I got Eddie Rosario on the
brain. Because you were thinking about Eddie Rosario, and that makes you forget his name.
Every time I see Eddie Rosario, like the name, I just think of Eddie Van Halen. And then I want to think that Eddie Rosario rocks, but he really doesn't. I don't know what kind of music he likes. Anyway, we're putting one of our eyes, as I mentioned, towards 2018. We're going to do a little threesome. We're going to have a menage a trois here, boys.
Kroners for everyone.
Kroners for everyone. It's getting hotter than the Texas orgy in here. We've got three guys who are performing admirably this year. I'm going to pit towards, each other and each other. As far as who you're going to draft first in 2018, we've got Giancarlo Stanton, who leads baseball in home runs. He can really mash some taters, and they're delicious. Then we've got Joey Votto, who is putting up MVP-type numbers. He's also mashing taters, although fewer taters. But they're still delicious. And also Aaron Judge. I've never heard of him before, but I guess he's good. So, Van, break this down a little bit for us. I know, guys, we've had sort of this Stanton versus Judge discussion a little bit before, but that was a few months ago. Times, they have changed. All is right in the world, of course, so all we have to talk about is fantasy baseball. But Van, kick us off here. What order are you drafting these stellar batters in next year?
I'm going Votto, Stanton, Judge. And the reason why is that Joey Votto is obviously the oldest of the three. He's 33 years old, but he's also putting up arguably the greatest season of his career. He's at 316, 448, 600. He's got 31 home runs with, 40 games left to play. That's a career high. Not quite a career high. He hit 37 in 2010, but he should be able to break that. We also have now three straight years of him hitting almost 30 home runs. He went 29, 29, 31 so far this year. So this is a guy who's unbelievably good at hitting, and I think he's the clear number one choice here. We've got enough of a track record that the injury history is behind him. The power is legit, though it's not quite as much as the other two guys, and he's just playing a stud. Stanton, we're seeing what Stanton can do when he's healthy. He's sitting on 285, 376, 646. Of course, he has 44 homers. He might clear 60, but we still have a pretty checkered injury history with him, so there's always a chance he doesn't put up a full season, because the last time he did it was in 2014. And then Judge is really good, but not quite as good as we thought he was at the beginning of the year. He's really struggled in the second half, and he does have 36 home runs, but he's a guy who strikes out 30% of the time, and you just can't really count on those guys to be elite all of the time. So definitely that's my 1-2-3 right there.
And I think, too, it depends on what format we're talking about as well. If we're talking about redraft yearly format, I'm probably going to go with the same order that Van has, with Votto and then Stanton and then Judge in third place. But if it's a dynasty, I might give the nod a little bit to Stanton over the other two. And I wouldn't be upset with any of them that I got in dynasty. And I think the thing that you lose sight of if you're doing a startup dynasty, which is not something that people do every year, you can't be afraid to go after these guys that are a little bit older, because at the end of the day, you're still trying to win a league. And I think a lot of people get caught up in dynasties. They want to have the new prospect, the new shiny toy, and you want to always be building for the future. But you can't lose sight of what the ultimate goal is, and that's to win for the season. So if I'm in a dynasty, I think I'm going to take Stanton over Judge just by a nod. Stanton's one of my favorite players, so I'm a little biased in that regard. But yearly, Joey Votto, I think, is the guy that you've got to take, because you got to like those 30 homers. You got to like the fact that he's only striking out 11.6% of the time. The other two hit bombs, we know what they do. We know that they're going to strike out a little bit, which coincidentally, I don't know if you guys saw tonight, that Aaron Judge has set the major league record with 33 straight games with a strikeout.
Yeah.
So he's in the record books for something that you don't necessarily want to be in the record books for. But it also, too, if it's an OBP format, I'm taking Joey Votto all day long. He is an OBP machine. He always has been. And the 30 homers are just kind of a bonus. He's not really known as a power guy. So I kind of overlook the age a little bit with him. But you got to kind of wonder, kind of like we talked about with Miggy, is he showing any signs of slowing down? He's actually showing signs of getting better and having more power. So I think in yearly, I would go Votto, Stanton, Judge. In dynasty formats, I think I'd go Stanton, and then I wouldn't be opposed to either Judge or Votto, either one. To me, then I look at, is it an OBP league or not, and that's what makes the determination for the other two with me in that regard.
And real quick, Nate, before you get into it, that's a great point about Miguel Cabrera and Pujols, and as far as we were talking earlier with Joey Votto. Joey Votto is clearly a guy who at least does some cardio. Like, he's the same.
Yeah.
He's slightly younger than Miguel Cabrera and fit. Like, if you look at Joey Votto, you can tell he's in good shape. So maybe we don't get that amazing crash that Pujols and Cabrera had. Maybe he slowly tapers off. That's all speculation. But with a guy who's as smart, as physically gifted, and who's taking care of himself as well as Joey Votto, I think he's going to be on a really good aging curve.
Well, and you also have the freaks like Adrian Beltre that are playing at a high level, and they have a few injuries here and there, but they still play a high level, you know, well into their late 30s, early 40s. So he could be one of those freak guys as well that has those consistent seasons later on in his career also.
His pants are so tight that I think he'll maintain good posture throughout the rest of his career and be able to hit for a pretty good hard contact. Yeah, freaking love Joey Votto, man. And yeah, I will definitely echo those sentiments that you said, Ron, as far as if this is an on-base league, if this is a points league, it's a no-brainer. It's Joey Votto. He's a no-doubt first-round pick. Probably not first half of the first-round pick, just because of like Kershaw and all them. But anyway, if you're in a points league, my God, 18.7% walks and 11.6% strikeouts. That is absolutely filthy. I wish I could have a 448 on-base in MLB The Show. I'm not that good. I can't draw a walk in that freaking game.
I like, can't do it either.
Oh, I'm glad I'm not alone then, because I just swing at everything until I get.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah, I'm glad I'm not the only one that has that problem.
You have to play on the higher difficulty levels. If you're on like Legend or above All-Star, I forget the other one, then you'll walk. You can take 3, 4, 5 walks a game. But if you're on Rookie all the way up to All-Star, all the pitches are in the zone, so there's no reason to take walks.
Okay. Yeah, I think All-Star is what I play at, because I've got a 99 hitting first baseman, Wolverine Tobenheim. He just smashes. He's got great mutton chops on the side, too, for sideburns. Oh, my God, he's a stud. But, yeah, never draws a walk. He's a very aggressive hitter. Anyway, yeah, if this is just a straight standard roto league, I think I'm actually going Judge here, first overall, and then probably Stanton and then Votto. Because we saw the adjustment the Judge can make from his rookie season, quote unquote, you know, the very short rookie season we saw last year, and just one off season and what he's been able to do this year. And granted, the second half, he's fallen off, you know, really bad. You mentioned the strikeout record. That's ugly. So his strikeout rate has climbed in a hurry. And, I think that that's something that he's going to definitely address in the off season. And we've seen that he's got an incredible drive to get better and be an incredible hitter. And I think that, you know, even if he strikes out 30% of the time next year, he can still hit 260, 270 and potentially lead the league in home runs. And that's not very dissimilar from what Giancarlo Stanton will give you. And that's why we comped them each other, you know, earlier on a couple months ago, whenever we talked about this. But Stanton, the injury history is still there. You know, there's still a chance that he can miss some time the rest of the year too. And I do understand some of the things, like getting hit in the face with the ball. Okay, that's a freak thing, you know, kind of like slipping on a wet base, like we were talking about with Bryce Harper earlier. Still, he's got a ways to go before he shakes that stigma for me. And then Joey Votto, I am worried about the age thing. You know, the power has been pretty consistent. It's held up over the years, and he's such a good hitter that it seems like he can do whatever he wants. Like if he wants to take a walk, we've seen him do that and get on base. And if he wants to hit for power, he's just going to do, you know, he's going to pull the ball for power. So, I mean, he's just absolutely incredible hitter, but time comes for us all. And that worries me. I'm going to tend to draft the younger guys who have proven it, as opposed to the older guys who could fall off a cliff at any time. Like the guys, you know, like Pools, like we've mentioned multiple times already. So Judge, Stanton, Votto for me. I'm totally opposite, I think, of Van, what you said. So,
yep, complete opposite. And, you know, I just can't believe in Judge. I just don't see it. I think his 2016 rookie numbers are probably more legit, but with power. He hit 270, 366, 489 in AAA with 19 homers. I think if you change the homers to 30, that's the line I could see, but he also has more power than that. So but that's what I'm going to bank on. So I just don't trust Judge. If you strike out 32% of the time, you're just not going to have that kind of a batting average that he has, which is already down to 290.
No.
And you know, Joey Votto is walking in an 18% clip. Judge is walking in a 17% clip. I don't think that's ever going to happen again. I think he'll be back down to a very high rate, which is 10, 11%. But if he does that, I mean, he's suddenly going to be hitting 260, you know, 365 plus, which is nice, but with no steals, it's a little more pedestrian than say even Votto, which we didn't even mention. He stole 11 bases in 2015, 8 in 2016, only 3 this year. So, but at least there's a little bit of speed involved with that there too. But I think you can't go wrong with any of these guys. They're all pretty good. I don't believe in Judge to the extent that the majority of the fantasy community has.
Yeah, like you said, you can't go wrong either way, since there's 3 of these guys. It's going to be fun to watch these guys knocking taters out of the park for a long time. I don't know why they're hitting potatoes with a baseball bat. It's kind of weird. They should stick to baseballs. Anyway, let's move to the closer report for this week. We're going to start off with the Angels again. Ron, what do you think? Any change in this crap show of a bullpen?
I mean, it appears that Cam Bedrosian might be getting a shot now. I guess, you know, he's got 6 saves on the year. It's looked okay. I mean, I think overall his stuff profile is the best, as we've said, as closer. Over the last few outings, I mean, he hasn't allowed a run, I don't think, in about 8 games. So overall, not bad. I like to see a few less walks here and there. But I believe that as Van affectionately calls him, Mike Scioscia decided to take a step back, is what the way he put it, from Bud Norris. So I've always been probably the biggest fan of Cam Bedrosian. He just needs to stay healthy and stay on the field. I think the job could be his. So if you look at, I'm looking at on a couple places here, and it has Bud Norris kind of knocked down the pecking order here a little bit. So Cam Bedrosian's always been the guy for me, and he's the guy that I would go with still probably at this point.
Yeah, Norris is out. He's done. I don't think we're going to see that again. Bedrosian's converted the last couple of saves. He has pitched on back-to-back days finally. So I think it's really his job. Middleton did get a save on Saturday, I think. And the Angels are hot. So this is certainly a team to watch if you're trying to, you know, float for saves. Because unlike some of these other closer by committee teams like the White Sox, at least the Angels are using guys who are pretty good, like Bedrosian. Middleton's been good. Blake Parker's been really good. I think if I'm going to pick order, it's going to be Bedrosian, Middleton, Parker. And again, we've seen a lot of saves out of Bedrosian lately. He got one today again. So he's my guy. I think he's the closer now.
Yusmeiro Petit even got a save.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that. That shouldn't happen.
What is Yusmeiro Petit?
You mean no-hitter throwing Yusmeiro Petit?
Yes, no-hit Petit, they call him. I was locked in on Middleton, man. I'm bummed to see Cam Bedrosian getting saves again. I picked up Middleton in a couple leagues. I was wrong on that lead. So, yeah, I guess for the time being, it's like I said, it's just a crap show there. So I guess if you're going to hedge, I would go with Bedrosian and Middleton. But it appears like Bedrosian might be the guy moving forward if Scioscia decides to pick a damn guy. Anyway, Twins, Van, anything new from last week? We've got Matt Belisle giving up a stupid home run, a walk-off home run to Justin Upton in one of the most annoying games I've watched all year.
Yeah.
So you still have the job or what?
I think he does. I think they just decided to give him a day off on Sunday, so because Saturday night was when he got knocked around. So Trevor Hildenberger, whoever that is, got a save. It was a four-out save. I think it's still Bilal's job. I think they were just, you know, let's back off, give him some rest. It's a long season, and then see what we can do. This is another one of those relief corps that I don't want a whole lot to do with. We mentioned that last week, and I still echo that sentiment.
Yeah, I once again, I keep bringing up the new litmus test I have as far as bullpens. In the article, how many guys are mentioned? There's still three or four guys mentioned, even though it mainly references Bilal. The fact that Bilal has four blown saves and only has recorded two is kind of an alarming thing. So overall, I once again am not a huge fan of anybody here. But I guess if you have to go with somebody, Bilal's the guy just by default, kind of like Cam Bedrosian is in the Angels bullpen. But it just seems like this season more than any, there's been so many just disgusting bullpens like in the back end. I don't know if you guys feel the same way, but.
Well, after the trade deadline, it did, like, because all of the closers on bad teams went to being setup men, which cost me more closers than I can count amongst my league. Because that's, I'm going to get to him. Don't you get me started on. But yeah, and then as opposed to anybody else on those crappy teams stepping up and actually being good, it's just a conglomeration of useless crap.
Well, and like the White Sox, anybody that could remotely even be put in the closer role, which I think is what the Angels should have done with Bud Norris. I'm thinking they wish they would have done that now. And the Twins with Matt Belisle, they should have shipped them out when they could have gotten something for them when they were actually closing games and looking decent. And they're left with these pieces that, you know, like we talked earlier about Clippard being sent out of town. And so anything they have that's going to return them anything that has any kind of value, they're going to keep sending it on, and you keep sending out all your grid bullpen pieces. And so, like I said, you know, these other teams should have done that when they had the chance, and now you're stuck with Bud Norris, and now you're stuck with Matt Belisle. Like, at least Matt Belisle's done with his contract after this year, I believe, right, Nate?
Yes, he is. Yeah, so he's 37-year-old is, yeah, just on a one-year deal.
So, yeah, so they should have got some value for these guys, but it you're right, it leaves these teams with just some garbage at the back end.
That is certainly the case. I guess Bilal is still the guy for now. Taylor Rogers, another guy of interest, but he's a lefty. So, you know, the managers generally tend to want to use them for matchups. And then Trevor Hildenberger, really nice strikeout to walk rate. 10.17 K per nine, 1.17 walks per nine over 23 innings this year, 3.13 ERA. Even better FIP and XFIP, both under three. Just 23% hard contact. So that is some really nice numbers. So maybe look into him moving forward, although it's weird because he only throws 88 to get that many strikeouts, but really nice control with him anyway. And you know what? A real dark horse. You guys might have forgotten this name, but Glenn Perkins. Perk, he's working his way back. He's going to be back with the Twins this week or next.
Yeah, I saw he was getting healthy. Obviously, they're going to be really careful with pitching with him on back-to-back days after all the injuries. So, yeah, but who knows? Maybe throw him out for some vulture saves here and there. It's not like they're going to win a lot of games.
Soon he will once again be percolating.
I hope so. Missed the perk. Anyway, yeah, Van, get out the swear button, because it's about to get real right now. David Robertson got a save tonight because what, Aroldis Chapman sucks now. All of a sudden, he's going back on the DL. Yep. And, of course, Dylan Betances was unavailable. Let me tell you all a little story about David Robertson in the prestigious Dynasty Baseball League. I straight up traded Shelley, Jacob Faria, as he was getting called up, for David Robertson because I needed saves. Guess what? David Robertson's a setup man now. Guess what? 2 days ago, I dropped David Robertson because he was just a setup man, and today he got a save. Yep. I hate you, David Robertson. Go die in a fire.
And then, you know, I saw you drop him, and I thought maybe I could pick him up. But he's under contract for next year. I think Chapman's really good, so I don't see him getting a lot of saves, so I didn't worry about. And I know it's overreaction at this point, but, yeah, I'm not too concerned about him getting a lot of saves unless there's an injury. But I still like him as a pitcher.
One more note that I have before we get out of here, gentlemen, that I forgot to jot down in the rundown is the return of Bearclaw. Kyle Bearclaw. He's back. And he's going to be moving to high leverage innings, according to whoever the hell our manager is down there. So go pick him up,
Ozzie,
before he records a save. Yeah, sure. That guy.
No.
Nobody.
Jack
Nobody
McKeon.
Pays attention to the Marlins.
Jack McKeon. Not even with this big sale. They're like, meh. I guess we should probably mention that.
Who's that?
That they're selling the Marlins finally. That's kind of going through Jeter's.
Is that official? I've heard so many rumors.
Supposedly they're dotting the I's and crossing the T's. It's Jeter's group's going to get it. And so the big talk is whether or not they're going to trade Stanton. And I think they should not, because that's going to piss off their fan base even more. They're going to have this new ownership group come in and do exactly what Jeffrey Loria would have done, which is trade, you know, their best asset. Even if it's a smart thing to do, I think it's a bad idea.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys know, I'm a minority partner in that group. I've put up $11.50 of my own money.
Nice.
Wow.
And so I will be a minority silent partner since I'm down here in South Florida. So very I just good. Want to make sure you know that. Yeah.
How many zeros do you think it would take to get the percentage of the like annual contract for Giancarlo Stanton, that $11 and whatever?
Oh boy. Yeah.
quite a few. But
I like a dozen zeros.
They'll ask me every once in a while. I think my job will be to make decisions about the concession stand, like setting prices on various things. So
go ahead.
Maybe you could determine what kind of sausage to use at the concession stand, which, of course, the correct answer would be Farmer John's sausage.
I will say I did read where the new group is considering getting rid of that weird ass thing in the outfield with all the different random animals.
Oh, come on.
It goes crazy when they hit a homer.
That's the best part.
I gotta say, I don't know. Well, it's one of those things that it's just so random and bizarre that it actually kind of does grow on you. It was annoying at first, but it's so weird that you don't want to see it go, I guess, now.
Like watching a train wreck. Have you been to a Marlins game, Ron?
Yeah, I've been. I haven't been this season. Like, I went to the Futures game. I'm going to try to go next month. I want to at least go once this year. But, yeah, I usually go to at least one or two every year.
Because I remember way back when it first started, and I was listening to the CBS Fantasy Baseball podcast, and they, you know, they're all down there in Florida, too. And Nando was talking about his experience going to that game back when Nando was with CBS. And he was talking about how there was like a sort of like adults only section of the stadium where like ladies walked around topless. So I don't know. You have to confirm or deny that. See if you can find that, because I tell you what, that's a hell of a draw right there for me.
Hey,
I
got to
find out. Well, I got to find out where Nando got his tickets now, because I don't know anything about this.
Yeah. Oh. I don't know. We'll have to ask him. But yeah, well, good luck to all the Marlins fans out there. Hope you enjoy this transition. That should be a hoot. Anything we want to get out before we roll on, gentlemen?
You know, I'm just very hungry, so I think I'm going to shuffle my way into the kitchen, cook up a nice Farmer John sausage, and then call it a night.
Are you going to have a cheese stick on the side with that?
I always have a cheese stick on the side. I keep Sargento cheese in business. That's me.
I thought there for a second you were going to say I keep Sargento cheese in my pocket.
I can't say I don't. We'll just put it that way.
Excellent.
I mean, it's in its own little individual packing, so it's not that big of a deal.
No. Keep an ice pack in there with it, you know, so that way it's fresh all day.
Sargento sounds like the name of a Resident Evil bad guy.
Sargento. Oh, so real quick, I forgot I wanted to do this earlier. I am remiss because I did mention Salazar last week from Resident Evil 4, but I didn't mention the greatest voice in that video game, which is the vendor that you buy stuff from, because he's the one you come up to him and he goes, "Hello, stranger. What are you buying?" He's the best. "What are you selling?"
Yeah, that guy's got issues. He's all over the place, man. Like, what's his angle? That's what I want to know.
He's just in it for the money, man. He sells you guns and plants and all kinds of stuff.
You know, now that you say that, I think I haven't played that one in particular, but I've played one of those games because I definitely remember that voice.
"What are you buying?"
Yeah. Okay.
"Got some great things on sale, stranger."
I'll have to look and see which one I had. I don't think it was that one, because I would definitely remember the angry little evil Spaniard.
Indeed, yes.
We've come so far from the original Resident Evil games. I don't know if you guys have ever...
Oh, absolutely. I grew up on those.
The very first Resident Evil on PlayStation 1.
I thought you were going to be a Jill sandwich.
The voice acting is so horrible on that game. Oh, my God.
The second one, Leon finally meets the shopkeep with the gun at the very beginning, he goes, "Wait, I'm a human."
Yeah.
Classic.
Blood? I hope this is not Chris's blood.
Oh, Barry's the best.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. All right, on that note, folks, we will catch you next week. How do I end this podcast? I'm mixing it up.
Fantasy Gods.
May the fantasy gods shine upon you. Thank you.